Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards, and I'm so excited about this message and this series that I'm doing right now called Secret Signals. And today we're going to be talking about communicating value. Listen, this is stuff that's going to change your world on the practical level. It's going to cut down conflict. It's going to help you with your kids, with your job, with your marriage. It's going to help you get the promotions and the raises that you need. It's going to help you have peace in your life instead of conflict all the time. Listen, Jesus told us that is our words whereby people either condemn us or justify us. And I'm going to tell you something. Most people are condemned by others because of the unscriptural, ineffective way that we attempt to communicate. But I want to tell you something. You're going to get some stuff today and in this series. It's going to be incredible for you. You can get this entire series at www.impactministries.com. It's called Secret Signals. And today we're going to be talking about communicating value. On this most special offer, Secret Signals, we're going to talk to you about what you're communicating to people, even when you don't intend to. And we're going to talk about how to change that communication so you are much more effective. But along with this 6-CD series, you're also going to get a free download of Listening and Speaking, the Art of Communication. And you're going to get wisdom for communication from the book of Proverbs. I tell you, all of this is going to transform your communication life. You know, this series is going to give you tools that are going to benefit and transform every aspect of your life. You know, the Bible tells us that in both the Old Testament, and Paul repeats it again in the book of Romans, that basically it's God's people that cause God's name to be blasphemed continually. And you say, well, how could it be God's people? Well, there's a lot of different reasons. And I'm not saying God's people are the only reason, but this is what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah. It tells us over in Isaiah 52, and then in, I think, the first or second chapter of the book of Romans, Paul talks about it again. But I want to tell you something. When I look at the way or hear the way, when I'm looking at it, I'm online, looking at Facebook, looking at comments that people make. And when I hear it, you know, this is when you're in communication with people. But man, when I hear and see how God's people communicate, I am completely appalled. I cannot believe the things that people say to each other. I can't believe the way people say things to each other. I can't believe how devoid people are of God's rules, if you will, for communication, how God teaches us the wisdom to communicate and to be effective in our communication. And it just amazes me. And we cut people to shreds, and we do it in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, because it's in the Bible and it's truth. And so somehow or another, we think that truth makes it all right to be rude, makes it all right to be unkind, makes it all right to be unmerciful. But I want to tell you something. That's not truth. Because you see, taking something true, in other words, it's scriptural, it's in the Bible, it is not truth unless it is applied the way God intends for it to be applied. And you're going to learn something about that today. And I'm telling you something, if you take hold of these principles, your life is going to get better. You know, I have about 100,000 followers on Facebook. So I'm in communication with a lot of people, and I get to hear what a lot of people think. And, you know, I don't mind if people disagree with me. That's not a big deal. I don't take it personal. Everybody's got their right to their own opinion. But there are some things that, of course, do take me back. And then there's certain trends that I notice. And here's what I've noticed. Anytime I make a post on Facebook about not judging or make a post on Facebook about not being critical or attacking people, there's always going to be somebody that comes back and says, no, God says we're supposed to rebuke people, and we're supposed to correct people, and we're supposed to do all of this. And you know, when I read that, I just think the first thing I think is evidently you absolutely missed the point. And then the second thing I think about is how devoid are you of understanding the Word of God that you think you can lift these scriptures out and abandon what God teaches you about how to communicate effectively? Because, you know, and really, I guess you really even have to come up with an answer for what does it mean to have effective communication. Because, see, here's what I see. I've been in the ministry for over 40 years. I have counseled with thousands and thousands of people, either in person, on the phone, online, through messaging, in various different ways. And here's the thing that I say. When people are quick to attack, what I have found is that's usually something that is operating in their daily life. It's usually something that is affecting the way they relate to their spouse, to their kids, to their loved ones, to their friends, at their work. And usually this is a person that's having a lot of conflict in their life, but they think that this conflict is righteous persecution, that they're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, when in reality, they're just being attacked because they attack other people and they're just reaping what they sow. You know, when people send me rude, hateful letters, most of the time I just pray for them and delete them. You know, like I say, people are going to do what they're going to do. But sometimes the Lord will really put it on my heart to come back and talk to the person and ask them this question. You know, in your life, are you having this same conflict with other people? You know, you can't imagine how many times I've answered an email or a letter and asked that question and been able to help people. People would come back and say, yes, I am, and I never realized it was the fact that I was rude and judgmental. I never realized this was what was causing all this conflict in my life. Now, of course, there are those people that come back and just attack harder because you can't have any decent communication with them. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says if you try to contend with an angry person, whether they laugh or whether they rage, you're not going to have peace. And so many times people who are attacking, these are people that at their core, they are angry. And I want to tell you something. If you're filled with anger, I want you to understand something. Whatever it is you're attacking people about, I guarantee you that you being angry and being judgmental and being attacking is worse than any sin that they're in and that you're attacking them about. Because Jesus himself warned that when you were angry at your brother, King James is angry without cause. The translators added that without cause, I guess because they couldn't imagine anybody living free from anger. But Jesus said that when you are angry against your brother, you are guilty of murder. And so I want to just tell you something. Being angry and blasting people all the time is not the way of peace. It's not the way of love. It is not the way of God. And I promise you, if you'll let God heal you from that anger, if you'll make a choice to walk in love, your world will change. I'll tell you, you'll start having peace. You know, let's just jump into this. You know, it's so important that we learn to live life on purpose. You say, what do you mean on purpose? Well, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 15:28 says this. It says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. And that word evil is about confusion. It's about conflict. It's not just about nasty words and stuff. It's just about all of the conflict and confusion that's coming out of this person's mouth. Just in so many words, this is saying that the mouth of the righteous or the righteous person thinks before he speaks. Now, you got to be saying, well, what does he think about? Well, is he thinking about how to answer? Is he thinking about how to answer to be right? Is he thinking about how to win the argument? Or is he thinking about how to answer to accomplish a goal? See, one of the things that I've realized is that we are always functioning from goals. Now, these goals, sometimes we've never written them down, we've never defined them, but based on the needs in our life, we're always being driven by some type of goal. And too many times, the goal is to protect myself, the goal is to look good, the goal is to be right, the goal is to win the argument, the goal is to get my way. Not many people have ever really intentionally decided my goal in life is going to bring people in contact and in the experience of the love of God. And that's what true spirituality is. And I want to tell you something. We've got all of these concepts about what's spiritual and what's important. But, you know the Apostle Paul says, now abides faith, hope, and love. And these three, and the greatest of these is love. Jesus said, you want to know what the greatest commandment is? Love God with all your heart. And he said, you want to know what the second greatest commandment is? Love your neighbors, you love yourself. You see, we have left love out of the equation. We think that wrath and anger and judgment and criticism and all of these kinds of things will accomplish the righteousness of God. But the book of James tells us that the wrath of man doesn't accomplish the righteousness of God, and explains that this is a demonic wisdom. It's not a wisdom from above. This is a wisdom from beneath. This is the way carnal people work. You see, we just don't believe that the love of God and bringing people in contact with the love of God is enough to influence their life. Besides, honestly, I'm convinced that most people really don't want to let people around them become who Jesus wants them to be. We want them to become who we want them to be, especially if it's our spouse or our kids or somebody, or our friends, somebody who has the ability to affect our life. We want them to be who we want them to be, so we'll be happy at the cost of their happiness. And whether we intend it or not, that comes through in our communication. That comes through in the things that we say. You see, wisdom is always the practical application of truth. Wisdom is going to determine whether or not we choose to walk in God's wisdom or not, which many people reject God's wisdom. There are people today that say, I'm under grace, therefore nothing in the Old Testament, nothing that Jesus taught applies to me. What kind of foolish person even thinks that stuff? God's word is God's wisdom. And if you apply it in love, you will be applying it in truth. You see, when you take something out of the Old Testament and apply it in truth, in love, then it's not law anymore. It's only legalism whenever you use it to try to earn something from God, when you use it to try to make yourself righteous. And so what I've discovered is that, I want the grace of God working in me, but the Bible tells me in order to put on this new man, I got to renew my mind. I got to find out what this new man is supposed to look like. You see, people are deceiving themselves, walking in a false spirituality because some preacher or somebody's come up with this idea of this is what it looks like to be spiritual. And for some people, that means to rebuke everybody, to correct everybody, to police everybody's conversation. Man alive, I tell you, back in the 70s and 80s, there was what I call the faith police, or the confession police. And I'm telling you, everything you said, somebody was saying, oh, don't say it that way. You can't say it that way. If you do, then you've violated faith. And I tell you, people would just drive you crazy. And then, of course, in your conservative arenas, there's always been the people who police your morality and your ethics. And they were always judging you and telling you were doing this. They knew the real reason you were doing this or the real reason you're doing that. In other words, they were playing God and judging you. And then today there's the grace police. There's those people that if you even say the word obey, or if you even say you're going to follow Jesus, or if you even say you're going to pray about anything, they're going to tell you you're in legalism because they're policing everybody else. Well, I want to tell you something. God's word is God's wisdom. And if grace works in me, I'm going to have the power and the ability and the capacity to walk in God's word, which means I'm going to walk in love. And, when you walk in love, you do fulfill all of the law. Not a different law, but all of those commands that the Old Testament tells you. And one of the key things I want to do, I want to understand from God's word what it looks like to walk in love. I don't want to come up with some philosophical concept of what it means to walk in love. I want to know from God's word. So you see, if I walk in wisdom, then most of my efforts are going to lead me to avoid trouble and lead me to avoid having to clean up messes and bring me into accomplishing the goals that I have for my life. So here's a question you've got to ask yourself. Have you decided how you want to affect others? In other words, after people have a conversation with you, when you've walked out of the room and left people, what is it that you want to have happen? How do you want to influence or affect them? You say, well, I want to influence them in a godly way. Okay, well, what does that look like? How do you get that kind of influence? I'll tell you, you get that kind of influence by being like Jesus. You know, in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, consider your ways. You sow much and you bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes." Now, I'll tell you, that can apply to a whole lot of areas of life. But today, I want to apply this to communication. So, let's say you try to be godly. You try to minister to people. But in the end, it doesn't go right. In the end, people don't get saved. In the end, people don't grow in God. In the end, your relationship with people doesn't get better. Well, see, our tendency then is to always point to another person, always try to figure out what's wrong with them. But God didn't say figure out what's wrong with everybody else when the outcome isn't what you want. He said, consider your ways. See, Proverbs 14:12 says this, "So there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may be sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief." You see, we do things the way we do things. We communicate the way we communicate because we think it's going to accomplish a goal. Well, what is the goal that you want? If it's your kids, what do you want? What do you really want? Do you want your kids just to mind you, or do you want your kids to grow in the wisdom of God and become godly, successful, independent people? If it's your spouse, do you just want your spouse to do what you want them to do for your reasons, or do you want them to be who they really are in Jesus and have a life that's full and fulfilled and happy and abundant? See, what is it you want? When you see somebody doing something evil, what is it you want? For them to see how wrong they are? Or do you want them to discover that there's a better way, that God's way is a better way, and if they can experience God and experience peace, they can be free from their ways? You see, I don't think we've thought this through very much. What I got to consider my ways, and so I've got to say what I want to accomplish, and is the way that I'm going about this going to bring about the end that I want? You know, in ministry and in business training, I do some coaching, and I go in sometimes and do consulting for businesses and ministries. And one of the things that I teach every department in a business or every department in a ministry, I teach them to establish what we call an emotional impact statement. Now, an emotional impact statement is basically a statement that says, when we relate to people, here are the emotions that we want them to have. You see, the world has never seen God, but they see us. And the world is judging God by the way we make them feel. Not whether or not we're right about scriptures, not about whether or not we live a perfect life, but by the way that we make them feel. Because they don't know the Word of God. They don't know when we're faking it. They don't know when what we're telling them is in the Bible or not in the Bible. They don't know. But here's what they know. How do we make them feel? So until we have an emotional impact statement, this is how I want to make people feel, then very likely we're just going to respond based on the whim of the moment. You see, there are truths in the Bible that are guiding truths, are guiding values. A guiding value is a truth that is so important, so foundational, that it guides the application of all other truth. Well, 1 Corinthians 16:14 says this, let all that you do be done in love. Now, either the Bible's true or the Bible's not true, and you can't start stripping out verses. So this right here says, let all that you do be done in love. You say, well, I'm doing it because I love people. No, do it in love. Well, what is love? Again, you got to go back to God's word. God's word says the Greek word for love, agape, is a word that means to consider something valuable, to consider as precious, and to hold it in high regard. See, I'm convinced that when we're slamming people, when we're cutting people, when we're putting people down, when we're jumping on people, when we're rebuking people, it's very seldom that we're doing that because we hold them in high regard, we consider them precious and valuable. No, we're doing that because we want to change their behavior. We want to control them. And because if we really had value for them and considered them precious, then the way we would talk to them consistently would reflect that. And yeah, we'll all mess up. Yes, we'll all have our moments where we talk to people in a way that does not convey value. But I want to tell you something. If as a way of life, you don't convey value to people, then you don't love people. It's just that simple. You know, 1 John 4:16 says, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. You're not even abiding in God. You're not even in the realm where God has influence over your life if love is not your goal. But see, we have found all kinds of ways to excuse being mean. You know, again, for many people, the guiding principle is, I want to be right. I want to win the argument. I want to look good. I want to control you. I want you to do what I want you to do. And sometimes people are like, well, I want to glorify God. But what does that look like? If I leave the realm of love, then I am not glorifying God, no matter how spiritual it seems. You see, remember, we said that noticing or considering your ways, considering the outcome, considering what comes back to you, we talked about the fact that this is really, really essential once you decide that this is the effect that I want to have on people. So, in other words, the reaction that comes about because of my actions, and in this case, we're talking about communication, that reaction that comes back is going to tell me more about how I'm, what my signals are, intentional or unintentional, what the signals are that I'm really, really sending to somebody else. So we've got to start becoming aware of other people. And when we communicate with them, we've got to start listening to their reactions, their responses. And when we don't get a reasonable response back from them, then we should know that they don't feel safe. And if they don't feel safe, they can't feel love, because if you got fear, there's not going to be any love present. And then we got to realize, I am not fulfilling my goal to express value to and about and toward this other person. Now listen, in this series, Secret Signals, and in this series that you get as a free download, Speaking and Listening, The Art of Communication, you're going to get all kinds of tools about how to pay attention, about how to notice what other people are saying, to bring yourself back to that realm to where your priorities are consistent with God's priorities, to love God first and foremost, to love people as you love yourself, and as Paul said, to let all things be done in love. I want you to understand, other than making Jesus your Lord, and if he is your Lord, then this is going to be your decision. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to apply his truth, but I'm going to do all that I do in love. Come back for my mentoring moment. I got some important things to share with you. I hope you'll join me for some of my meetings across North America. I'm telling you, it is so great to get together with people in a live crowd and just experience the synergy that happens when we're gathered together in the name of the Lord. The truth has come out. It's so phenomenal. Listen, September the 11th through the 14th, I'm going to be at Grace United Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then September the 23rd to the 25th, I'm going to be with Safe Harbor Ministries, which is for leaders. And you can contact Safe Harbor online and find out about it in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And then in October the 10th through the 12th, I'm going to be with Destined to Win Church in Chicago, Illinois. And then here, October the 17th through the 19th, we're having a Heart Physics Weekend. This is going to be an incredible time, Heart Physics for Health and Healing. And I'm telling you, this is going to be phenomenal. Then November the 21st through the 23rd, I'm going to be in Hagersville, Ontario, on Mississauga, a New Credit Reserve. And I want you to be there. I want you to join me. We're going to have great meetings and a great time of fellowship. Nothing affects your life like how you communicate. And when you communicate, whether you know it or not, you send secret signals, the tone of voice, what your true intentions are in your heart. All of these things come out whether you intend for them to or not. This series, Secret Signals, is going to change your life. And I'll tell you something else. The free download that you get for the art of communication and the wisdom for communication is going to give you the tools you need for a communication renovation. Remember, truth doesn't benefit your life until you put it into practice. Knowing something in your head is just information, but seeking to put it into practice because of who you are, and especially because you intend to walk in God's love, I'll tell you, it connects to your heart and you have a transformation besides what happens to the people around you. I want you to consider the possibility of making an emotional impact statement. And the emotional impact statement, the way you will establish this is you start out by saying, how do I want to make people feel? And you can, you know, and when you do this, actually, it's better to even start with a mission statement. What do I want to accomplish in people's life? For example, I want people to trust God more. I want people to fall in love with God more. I want people to follow God. That's really my mission, whether they're saved, lost, it doesn't really matter. But my emotional impact statement, because I realize in order to accomplish that, then I've got to have a certain emotional impact on them. So that means that I want them to feel loved. I want them to feel important. I want them to feel precious. Now, I don't always accomplish this. And, you know, there are times as a minister where you sit down with people and you have to be very direct with them about something, and they don't think you're walking in love. Those kinds of things happen. But in general, I want to walk away from people. I want them to feel precious and valuable. I want them to feel like God loves them. And I want to be more about them and God than be about me and them. But if I have this emotional impact, then this opens their heart to allow God to bring His love to them. So the next thing you got to do is you got to have an accomplishment statement or a fulfillment statement. And that is, how will I fulfill this? Well, then that's where I get into the practicals of how will I talk to them. I will always talk to them in a way that conveys value, or I will always seek to make sure that they know the truth. And if I present that truth, I'm always going to present it in love, or I'm always going to listen and be attentive and considerate, or I'm going to make sure they always feel safe. So you see, you have a mission statement. What do I want to accomplish? You have an emotional impact statement. How do they need to feel to accomplish that? And then you have a fulfillment statement with a list of the things you've got to do to bring this about. This is going to transform the way you communicate with everybody.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.